In preparation in advance of Hanukkah, I wanted to speak about Ner Hanukkah in a little bit different way than perhaps we're accustomed to, and that is by focusing on the comments of the Rambam at the conclusion, at the close of Hilchos Hanukkah. This is significant both in terms of understanding Hilchos Hanukkah and recognizing how indeed the Rambam orders the Mishneh Torah. Hilchos Hanukkah is the very last series of halachos in Sefer Zmanim. So this is not only the conclusion to Hilchos Hanukkah, these last three halachos in source number one, it also is the conclusion to the entire Sefer Zmanim. And we'll see in a moment why that may indeed be significant. So let's take a look, and I'll read aloud now the first source, the Rambam, at the end of Perek Dal of Hilchos Hanukkah, and we'll ask several questions, and hopefully over the course of the next few minutes, we'll be able to understand the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah in greater depth, and also we'll be able to understand its place in the constellation of mitzvos and values that the Rambam speaks about at the end of Hilchos Hanukkah. The Rambam begins this last section of Hilchos Hanukkah. This is after Prakim Gimel and Dalet have gone through the story of Hanukkah, which we'll get to in a moment, the very beginning of Perek Gimel. The Rambam then in Halacha Dalet of Perek Gimel of Hilchos Hanukkah, which is only two Prakim, it shares it with Megillah. Perek Aleph and Beis are Hilchos Megillah, Prakim Gimel and Dalet are Hilchos Hanukkah. The Rambam then discusses the fact that there is a mitzvah of Halachas Ner Hanukkah and three brachos. The Rambam then transitions into an extended discussion of Hilchos Hallel. Interestingly enough, the Rambam in Hilchos Hanukkah devotes seven or eight halachos to the laws of Hallel, not just for Hanukkah, but for year-round, the prakim that we skip when we do half Hallel, etc. Then, the beginning of Perek Dal, the Rambam begins discussing in greater detail the halachos of Hadlakas Ner Hanukkah, until finally, at the very end of Hilchos Hanukkah, the Rambam sums up with the following chiddush. Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis, and this halacha in the Rambam is indeed a chiddush. It's not taken from the Gemara. The Nosei Kalim struggle with where exactly the Rambam derived this halacha from. Seemingly, it's the Rambam's own conviction, perhaps a connection to Arba Kosos, perhaps the idea of Pirsumei Nisa. Nevertheless, this halacha is a significant one, and it's the one that really concludes the Rambam's whole discussion of Hilchos Hanukkah. Mitzvah Ner Hanukkah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'ot. The mitzvah Ner Hanukkah is a special one. It's one which should be beloved. Vitzarich adam lihizayir ba, and a person has to be very careful with this particular mitzvah, kidei lehodia hanes, in order to acknowledge the miracle, ulahosif b'sheva hakel v'hodayelo, and in order to increase the praising of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the thanksgiving to him, al hanisim sha'asa, for the miracles, notice in the plural, for the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. We'll come back to that in a moment. Here's the mechudash part in the Rambam. Afilu ein lo ma yochal ela minat staka. Even if you're completely indigent and you don't have any independent source of income, you're being supported communally by the charitable donations of others. Shoel omocher ksuso vilokeach shemen veneros umadlik. Rambam tells us that even if you're so poor that you can't afford to purchase anything on your own, nevertheless, when it comes to Hanukkah candles, in the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, it's so special, it's so chaviv, it's so significant, it's so important that one has to borrow or sell the shirt off his back in order to fulfill this particular mitzvah. Question that the Nosei Kalim asks is, where does the Rambam get this from? I mean, this is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. Even when it comes to mitzvahs d'oraisa, we don't say that for asays one has to make himself poor in order to fulfill a particular mitzvah. When it comes to los asays, there we say that no matter what the cost, you have to avoid violating, transgressing a prohibition, one has to do whatever one can. But when it comes to mitzvot aseh, this is fairly unique. This is a remarkable chiddush that the Rambam tells us, that an ani has to sell the shirt off his back in order to fulfill the mitzvot of Ner Chanukah. Why should that be? Why does the Rambam think that a person has to go to such ends of the earth in order to fulfill this particular mitzvah? What is so chaviv about the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? So that's the first question. Where does the Rambam, how does the Rambam justify, or how would we justify for the Rambam, this remarkable chiddush, that a poor person has to sell the shirt off his back in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Fine, it's important, it's significant, but ad kidei kach, we would say this, there's almost no other precedent for this. There is a discussion about dalet kosos and how we have to support aniyim in order to allow them to fulfill the mitzvah of arba kosos, and there is a link in terms of pirsumei nisa there, but even there, we don't say that the ani should sell the shirt off his back. We say the tamchui should support him. So why is it that when it comes to Ner Chanukah, the Rambam almost creates a new category of mitzvah, a mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od, that requires a person to sell the shirt off his back? That's the first question that I want to raise this morning. The second question is perhaps slightly more technical, halachic, but one which the Or Sameach raises and which the poskim, the Mishnah Berurah, and others pick up on the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam writes, "Afilu ein lo mayochal lo min atzdaka sholem mocher ksuso velokech shemen v'neiros umadlik." To what extent does the poor person have to go when it comes to selling the shirt off his back? Right, we're all familiar with, and the Rambam begins Perek Dalet of Hilchos Chanukah with a summary and his take on the Gemara about the three levels of Ner Chanukah. Rabbi Eisenstein will be discussing this later. There's, of course, the basic mitzvah of Ner Yishuveso. There's the secondary level, Mahadrin Ner L'Kol Echad V'Echad, one candle corresponding to each person in the house, ignoring the nights. And then there's Mahadrin and Rahadrin, where we take into account which night of Chanukah it is. So what is the Rambam telling us here? Is the Rambam saying that a poor person has to sell the shirt off his back in order to fulfill the basic mitzvah of Chanukah, Ner Yishuveso? That would seem to be all that could be expected. We're going to make a poor person become even further indigent in order to fulfill Mahadrin and Mahadrin? It almost seems cruel to expect that. Yet the Or Sameach, Rameir Simcha Dvinsk, on this Rambam, in a very terse comment, points out that it says v'lokech shemen v'neiros umadlik. It says perhaps we can be medayik from here, that what the Rambam is indeed telling this poor person to do is not just sell the shirt off his back so he can light one Chanukah candle each night, but that in order that the poor person can fulfill the mitzvah ner Chanukah b'mahadrin min mahadrin, lokech shemen v'neiros umadlik. Now it's not the greatest diyuk. He could have said it's neiros for each night of Chanukah. Doesn't necessarily have to be muchrach, but just, we'll see later on in the Shulchan Aruch, I think it is clear that the Shulchan Aruch understood the Rambam this way, and that's the way the Or Sameach understood the Rambam. From the plural of neiros, he understood it to mean that not just one for each night of Chanukah, but that indeed the poor person has to fulfill mahadrin and mahadrin. So this just makes our initial question even more acute. Yes, Mr. Gortz. Definitely. So it would seem that the Rambam here is trying to tell us the normal rules don't apply to mitzvahs Ner Chanukah. And that's what we're trying to figure out. Why is it that we're encouraging a poor person to do something that we never do, to drive himself further into debt, into indigency, in order to fulfill this mitzvah? Even if we don't take it literally, which I think you may have to, nevertheless, it's clear that the Rambam is trying to emphasize how significant this mitzvah is, this mitzvah d'rabbanan, or mitzvah midivrei kabbalah is, and what we have to try to do is understand that. And even more so, if the Rambam is indicating that for mahadrin, min mahadrin, the poor person has to do it, it seems to be very peculiar. The Rambam then continues. So our first two questions involve mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. Why is this mitzvah of Ner Chanukah so significant, so special, that we're willing to send someone even further into debt in order to fulfill it? And furthermore, in order to fulfill it in a mahadrin min mahadrin type of manner. The Rambam then continues and paraphrases a Gemara in Shabbos on Chav Gimel and Mebeis, which we're going to look at in a couple of moments. And the Rambam goes on to speak about the priorities and hierarchy when it comes to different mitzvahs. If a person, such as this poor person, only has sufficient funds for one of two mitzvahs, which one should he choose? So the Gemara in Shabbos has this discussion. The Rambam codifies it in a very interesting way. Let's take a look for a moment at the Gemara in Shabbos in source number 10, and then we'll come back to the Rambam. All the way at the bottom of the page, the Gemara in Shabbos has the discussion as follows. Amar Rava, pshitali ner beso v'ner chanaka, ner beso adif mishum shalom beso. Ner beso v'kiddush hayom, ner beso adif mishum shalom beso. Rava starts the discussion of the Gemara by saying that it's obvious to me that when it comes to a scenario where you only have sufficient funds for Ner Beso or Ner Chanukah, that one should utilize those funds for Ner Beso because of the principle of Shalom Bayis, because of the concept of Shalom Bayis. And similarly, if it comes down to a situation of triage between Ner Beso and Kiddush Hayom, you select Ner Beso again because of Shalom Beso. What is Gemara referring to here when it says Ner Beso? So we've all, we've thought in our entire lives that this is a reference to Shabbos candles. Why do we think that? Because that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Ner Beso v'Shabbos. The truth is, a number of Rishonim, including the Ritva and Rabbeinu Chananel, believe that this Gemara here is talking about Ner Beso, lights in the house. Weekday candles, they didn't have electricity. And on a weekday, every day of Hanukkah, if you have a choice between having Ner Beso, light in the house, which you can use. Remember, you can't use Ner Chanukah. Asur lishtamish v'orah. If you have to choose between lighting Chanukah candles or having light in the home so that people don't bump into each other, and so which would cause fights to break out within the home, you should choose that. So it's interesting. Rashi avoids that explanation, most probably because he couldn't conceive that something that was devoid of mitzvah content in of itself would be sufficient to trump a mitzvah such as Ner Chanukah or Kiddush, right? For Rashi, it ends up being, you have Neros and Shabbos, which is a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, you have Kiddush with wine, or Ner Chanukah, which is also a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, and then the principle of Shalom Bayis is an additional factor which trumps Ner Chanukah. According to the Ritva and Rabbeinu Chananel, and perhaps the Rambam, though I'm not sure, the Rambam doesn't indicate one way or the other, though by omission maybe we could say that he's not saying Ner Shabbos, the fact that Ner Beso is conducive to Shalom Bayis, that in and of itself is sufficient to trump Ner Chanukah. We'll get to that, we'll come back to that in a minute. That's Rava's first line. But then Rava asks the question and comes back to the laws of Chanukah. Bayi Rava, Ner Chanukah v'kiddush hayom mahu. What about if you have a standoff between Ner Chanukah and Kiddush Hayom? What then do you do? Kiddush Hayom adif detagir, o dilma Ner Chanukah adif mishum pirsuminisa. So which one of these two mitzvahs should you choose? Kiddush Hayom, purchase wine so that you can make Kiddush on Shabbos so that you can fulfill that mitzvah, and also that mitzvah has going for it the fact that it is a more common, constant type of mitzvah, and that's of particular value in Judaism. Odilma ner Chanukah adik nishum persuminisa. Basar di bayi hadar pashto, the Gemara reports that after he posed the question, he resolved it. Ner Chanukah adik nishum persuminisa. After the question was raised, he resolved and said, Ner Chanukah is more significant because of the fact that you should choose Ner Chanukah because of the principle of publicizing the miracle. That's a more significant factor than Tatar. Okay, so that's the way the Gemara presents this whole discussion. Let's take a look at how the Rambam presents this discussion at the conclusion of Hilchos Chanukah, and we'll see the question is obvious in how the Rambam reverses the order and inverts it, and in a certain sense de-emphasizes the importance of Ner Chanukah in the process. Back up to source number one, Halacha Yud Gimel. If you only have one coin, enough to purchase one of two things, ulufanav kiddush hayom v'hadlakas ner chanukah, makdim shemin lahadlik ner chanukah alayayin l'kiddush hayom ho'elu shneya midivrei sofrim mutav lahakdim ner chanukah shiyesh bo zichron hanes. So the Rambam utilizes the term Zichron HaNes as opposed to Pirsumei Nisa. Leaving that minor distinction aside, the Rambam seems to take the Ibaya of Rava and reports it. It reports it in its pretty much in a very precise way. The Rambam, though, then moves on from the discussion of Ner Chanukah and goes back to the discussion that the Gemara had previously, the Pshita discussion of Rava, to discuss Ner Besa. Halacha Yadal, this is the last halacha in Hilchos Chanukah, and the last halacha in Sefer Zman. Hayu lefanav Ner Besa v'Ner Chanukah. O Ner Besa v'Kiddush Hayom. Ner Besa kodem mishum shalom Besa. So the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, says, after detailing how significant and central the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is, tells us, you know what, if you have a choice between Ner Beso, which it's unclear if it's referring to Shabbos candles or just plain old candles on a weekday, and Ner Chanukah, or Ner Beso and Kiddush Hayom, Ner Beso Kodem, Mishum Shalom Beso. Shehare Hashem, Nimchak La'asos Shalom Be'ish Li'ishto. Because the name of God, the principle of Shalom Bayis, is so significant that God's very name is erased in the context of the Sota ordeal. As part of that process, the name of God itself is erased, and in order to promote peace, in order to provide conclusive proof that the woman has not betrayed her husband, the procedure included taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and erasing it and putting it into this potion and concoction for the woman to drink, and all that was in order to prove that the woman had been faithful, in order to promote or to restore shalom in the home. Gadol HaShalom, the Rambam continues, Shekol HaTorah Nitna La'asos Shalom Ba'olam. The principle of peace is so significant that the entire Torah was given in order to promote, in order to make peace in the world. Shenemar Dirachel Darchei Noam V'chol D'sivoseh HaShalom. The ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of its paths are peace. So the Rambam here does something which seems to be, on the surface, very peculiar. He has just concluded discussing the laws of Chanukah and how important Ner Chanukah is. And then instead of concluding with that, as the Gemara did, instead of leaving the discussion of Neros Chanukah on a high point, Mitzvah Chavivah Hiyad Ma'od, it trumps other things, it's so significant, the Rambam chooses to conclude Hilchos Chanukah with a soliloquy on the importance and the value of Shalom. He begins with Shalom Bayis in the context of Ner Beso. He then takes it a step further and talks about Shehashem Nimchak for Shalom in the context of Sota. And then he broadens it to the whole reason for the Torah is in order to promote peace. What does this remind us of, this conclusion of the Rambam? So there are certain mesechtos, brachos, krisos, nida, yevamos, I believe, which conclude with a similar gemara, which kind of sounds like it, but it's not exactly the same. The shalom rav lal desar sechav elam v'shol, al tikri bonayach, ala bonayach, that whole gemara, that talmidei chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. So that's used in several different places in the gemara. The Rambam here may be echoing or channeling that wrap-up of some mesechtos, but it's still peculiar that the Rambam saw fit to conclude Hilchos Chanukah in this way. What does this have to do with Chanukah? It almost seems like the Rambam saw a Gemara which discusses Shalom Bayis in the context of Chanukah, that Gemara in Shabbos and Chav Gimel Beis, thought this would be a nice way homiletically to conclude the laws of Chanukah, and so he wraps up Hilchos Chanukah with a discussion of Shalom. And there are other times where the Rambam concludes Svarim with a similar kind of more hashkafic or philosophical or homiletical conclusion, but here it really stands out. The Rambam, it would seem, is going completely off the subject of Chanukah in order to digress and wax poetic about the significance of Shalom. And the question that I have is, why does the Rambam do that? Why does the Rambam do that here, in the context of Hilchos Chanukah? Why did the Rambam see fit to discuss Shalom Bayis here? Is it merely because the Gemara threw in the discussion of Shalom Bayis, or is there something which relates to Hilchos Chanukah, the story of Chanukah, and even the fact that Mitzvah Chavivahi An Me'od factor of Chanukah, which allows for and encourages the Rambam to conclude his Hilchos Chanukah in this way. Simcha. Correct. That's.
So when those that say that Ner Beso refers to regular bites as opposed to Shabbos bites, and they leave out that whole component of Shalom bites, which now the Rambam is referring to as some aspect of religion in Ner's time.
Okay, so we'll, let's come back to it. It's not clear exactly what the Rambam thinks is the relationship between Ner Beso on Shabbos and regular Ner Beso. I just don't know one way or the other. The Rambam just quotes the Gemara and says Ner Beso. He doesn't qualify as Ner Beso to Shabbos, but certainly the Gemara in several places in Shabbos does describe the purpose and function of Neros Shabbos to be Shalom Bayis. But the truth is, the principle of Shalom Bayis was probably part and parcel of why they had candles lit all the time. So if you look back, for example, at source number 10, just for a moment, the last line, which I skipped before, the Gemara, after the discussion, Ner Chanukah Adiv Mishum Pirsumin Issa, the Gemara records Rav Huna's position, Amar Rav Huna Haragil B'ner Havyon Le Banim Talmidei Chacham Hazer B'mezuzah Zochel Dirana. The Gemara says, if you perform certain mitzvos in a consistent manner, you'll be zocha, you'll merit a certain special thing. So one of the things is if you are Ragil B'ner. So Rashi says this is talking about Ner Chanukah and Shabbos. But other Rishonim say, no, this isn't Ner Chanukah and Shabbos. This is if you have a lot of light in the house and that promotes good feelings amongst everyone in the household, Shalom Bayis, and furthermore, it allows people, facilitates learning because there's light in the house, then, as a consequence, you'll have Talmidei Chachamim as children. So, leaving aside that for now, we want to just come back and try to understand specifically this conclusion of the Rambam to Hilchos Chanukah, where the Rambam seems to want to justify and explain how significant Chanukah, Mitzvah's Ner Chanukah is, Mitzvah Chivivi Ad Ma'od. He's Mechadesh, a halacha about Sholem Ocher Ksuso, perhaps even for Mahadrim and Mahadrim, and yet he then concludes Hilchos Chanukah with almost an anticlimactic or undercutting of the very special quality of Chanukah that he just propped up by saying Shalom Bayis trumps it, and Shalom Bayis is really the raison d'etre of the entire Torah. So let's take a look, just briefly. Shalom is, you're right. He then broadens it to Shalom. So let's take a look for a moment at the well-known discussion about the miracles of Chanukah. As the Rambam had said in Halacha Yud Beis, Lahosif b'shevach hakel v'hodayelo al hanisim sha'asa, that formulation of Nisim in the plural is significant because, as we're going to see in a moment, for the Rambam, there are two miracles which Ner Chanukah commemorates, and both of them are significant, and both of them represent, or the two of them represent, two sides of the same coin. This, of course, will take us for a few moments to discuss what exactly is the primary miracle of Chanukah. What miracle are we commemorating? As the Gemara in Shabbos that we're all familiar with in source number 2, it seems to emphasize the miracle of the Pach Shemen. Source number 2, the Gemara Shabbos, Chafal from Beis, Mai Chanukah Detana Rabbanan, Bechafei Bekislev, Yoma De Chanukah Timanya, Inon, Timanya Inon, De Lolimisbet Bahom, De Lolisanas Bahom. Why do we observe these 8 days as days where we don't fast or deliver eulogies? Because Shekit Shenichnesu Yevanim Lehechal, the Gemara picks up post-war, post-military struggle, post the victory over the Greeks / Hellenists, the Gemara picks up and says, "Shekashenichnasu yivanim lehechal timu kalashmanim shebehechal ukeshegaver malchus beis chashmonoi v'nitzchum." Just mentions that matter of factly, "Bad kuvlo matzu alapach echad shel shemen shayamunach bechosma shel kohen gadol v'lohayibo lahadlik yom echad nasibones v'dlikum imenu shmonas yamim l'shana acheres kevaum va'asum yamim tovim b'halel v'hoda." So the Gemara in Shabbos seems to be fairly straightforward in emphasizing that the primary miracle of Chanukah, or the reason for the Yamim Tovim Bahalal V'Hodah, is as a result of the miracle of the Pach Shemen. The miracle of the oil. In fact, Rashi confirms this reading by saying, by understanding that the question of the Gemara, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah, really means to be asking, alei ze nes kavua. So for the Rambam, for Rashi, the Gemara is straightforward in telling us that the primary miracle of Hanukkah is the miracle of the Pach Shemen. The alternative, or the counterweight to the Gemara in Shabbos, of course, is the Tefillah of Al Nisim, which we recite on Hanukkah, which has the exact opposite impression. Many have pointed this out before. Just for the sake of thoroughness, we'll take a look at that Tefillah for a moment. In source number 4, B'mei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Uvanav Kisha Amda Malchus Yavan Harashah Al Mcha Yisrael Va'ashkicham Torah Sechel Aviv Meirchukei Ritzonech V'atav Rachamech Rambim Amad Tolahem Be'is Sarasam, etc. And as a result, Dantas Dinam Nakantas Nikmasam Masarte Giborim Biad Chalashim. Here's the miraculous nature of the military victory. It was the strong in the hands of the weak, Rabim Biad Ma'atim, the many in the hands of the few, the Tmeim Biad Torim, Urisham Biad Sadikim, Vizaydim Biad Oskesar Asacha, Lucha, Asisa Shem Vadol Vakadosh Balamecha, Ulamcha Yisrael Asisa Chuagdola for Kanka Yomazet. Ufinos Echlav of Tirus Mikdashach of Idlikun Eros Bechatzros Kachach. So the Tefillah of Al Nisim, much like the Gemara in Shabbos' treatment of the miracle of the military victory, here the miracle of the Pach Shemen isn't even mentioned. It's only mentioned that they went back and they lit the menorah. It doesn't say anything about the miraculous context in which the menorah was lit. So we have two different texts from Chazal. One, the Tefillah of Al Nisim, where the dating is not so clear exactly when that prayer was formulated, and of course the Gemara in Shabbos, and we have two different impressions of what the primary miracle was. Was it the Nes of the Pach Shemen or the military victory? The Maharal, in a very famous comment in source number 5, which I'm not going to read inside at the moment, the Maharal actually advances the argument that the primary miracle was the military victory. Why does the Gemara only emphasize the miracle of the oil? So he doesn't really have a full answer for that, but he says it's impossible, it's inconceivable that we would celebrate a holiday just to commemorate a miracle which allowed us to perform a mitzvah. That's not the way we Jews celebrate holidays. The way holidays are celebrated is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from a mortal enemy, when he takes us out of Egypt, etc. Rescues us from Haman. What difference does it make, the Maharal says? Okay, it's very nice, they lit the menorah. But just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that they could light the menorah with pure oil, that's sufficient grounds for celebrating a holiday? He says, no, inconceivable. Really, take a look at Al Nisim, he says, that's the primary miracle of Chanukah. So why do we have this whole miracle of the oil? He said, the miracle of the oil serves a very important purpose, but it's a secondary one. The miracle of the oil merely reminds us and makes sure, lest we forget, that the military victory was indeed miraculous. What often happens, the Maharal says, is that after a while, the military victory, we think back 30, 40, 50 years later, and we say, that was as a result of the strength of the army, or as a result of the fact that they were better prepared, they knew the terrain better, guerrilla warfare is very successful. One could have begun to explain the military victory over the Yavanim as a result of Kofi Votzim Yadi, as a result of the fact that the Jewish people themselves had mobilized their forces in a smarter, more efficient, and more powerful way, and therefore it's no surprise, and there certainly was no miraculous intervention in the military victory. So the miracle of the oil serves as a gilui, serves as a revelation of the fact that that military victory, which is the primary miracle of Hanukkah, was indeed a miraculous occurrence. That's the Maharal's position, almost diametrically opposed to Rashi's straightforward understanding of Gemara and Shabbos. I believe the Rambam has the most comprehensive position when it comes to this particular subject. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Hanukkah, emphasizes both aspects, both miracles, both the military victory, and indeed the miracle of the Pach Shemen. He begins Hilchos Hanukkah Interestingly enough, and the Rav in several different places, including the new Sefer that came out last year, Days of Deliverance, discusses the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah in the Rambam's explanation or justification for the holiday, which is somewhat unique. The Rambam there describes both miracles. Halacha Aleph is devoted to the military victory, and Halacha Beis is devoted to the miracle of the oil. L'baya sheni kishamalchi yavan gazuk zeros hal yisrael ubit nudatam v'lo yinichlo samasak v'tor v'mitzos v'pash yadam v'monam v'noseyam v'nichnesu l'heichal v'pirtzibo pirtzos v'timu hataros v'tzar lahem l'yisrael ma'od mipneihem v'lachatzum lachatz gadol. Things were very difficult during that time. Ad shericheim aleihem elokei avoseinu, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanos on the Jewish people, v'hoshia miyadam, and saved us, provided salvation from them. V'gavru b'nei chashmonai hakohanim gedolim v'hargum v'hoshim yisrael miyadam. And through the chashmonaim, this military victory, killing and saving the Jewish people, was able to transpire. V'hemidu melech min hakohanim v'chazur malchus v'yisrael yisrael ma'asayim shana ad achorban Hashem. That last line in the Rambam is also very interesting. Many have pointed to the fact that it's a very Zionistic line in the Rambam, because we all know the Chashmonaim were pretty awful and certainly not observant, religiously observant kings, and yet the Rambam emphasizes that the very fact that there was Jewish sovereignty is significant. Right? Anybody who's been to a Hesder Yeshiva has heard that at some point in their lives. And I think it's a good diyuk. Not for now. In this next halacha, the Rambam transitions into the miracle of the oil. Kishagavr Yisrael alayveim, the ibdum, the chamisha v'esri mechodesh kislev haya, the nechnesu lehecha v'lo matu shemen tar ala pach echad, v'lo haya bo lahadlik al yom echad bilvad, v'yiliku mimenu nero samaracha shmonas yamim, ad shikachu zeisim v'otziyo shemen tar. So the Rambam there describes, he doesn't like to use the word nisim that often, the Rambam, but he describes the miracle of the pach shemen. And then the Rambam concludes Halacha Gimel, and I believe he's wrapping up not just Halacha Beis, but also Halacha Aleph. Umibnei zeh hiskinu chachamim shevaoso ador shishmona seyam me'elu shetchilasem ulele chamisha ve'esrim v'kisle v'yimei simcha v'alel umadlikin bahen aneros be'erev al piskei habatim b'chol laila v'laila shmona seyamim v'yamim elu hinan karan chanaka v'en asurim behesped v'tainas k'mei purim v'adlakas aneros behen mitzvah m'divrei sofim k'kriyas ha'megil. That's also an important point in the Rambam. He's always relating Hilchos Megillah, Chanukah, and comparing and contrasting the two of them in terms of the obligation of Mikra Megillah and the obligation of Neros Chanukah. What I think emerges from the Rambam is that he doesn't overlook, he doesn't omit, he doesn't de-emphasize either one, either the military victory and the Hoshia, the Rechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hoshia Miyadam, nor the miracle of the oil. And for the Rambam, it would seem that these two miracles, these two aspects of Chanukah, the military victory and the struggle of the Chashmonaim and the miracle of the Pach Shemen, indeed fuse together in our celebration of Chanukah, in our lighting of the Chanukah candles. The question is, how do they do that? And how does this explain the Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od? So I think to answer that, we have to answer one of the two most famous questions when it comes to Ner Chanukah. The two famous questions. Right? What's the first one? 8 days. Why is it 8 days, not seven? That's known as the question of Beis Yosef. Right? We're not going to talk about that right now. Maybe next time. The other question is posed by the Pnei Yeshua and others, even before the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua just does it in a very succinct way. So that's why I selected that one. That is, why do we need? Why are we celebrating Chanukah at all? Why did they have to go ahead and light Shemen Tahor? They could have lit Shemen Tameh, Tomo HaTribit Sibor. So we have the Beis Yosef's question of 8 and 7 days, and we have the other question of Tomo HaTribit Sibor. What's the principle of Tomo HaTribit Sibor? There's a debate whether Tomo, when a majority of the Jewish people, like today, and presumably like at the time of the Nes of Chanukah, or the Nisim of Chanukah, when a majority of Klal Yisrael is Tameh, there are allowances for utilizing tummy things. That's in the Beis HaMikdash, that's outside. The laws of Tumah Tahara kind of fall by the wayside. So there's a debate whether it's Dechuya or Hutra B'Tzibur. But we paskin, in fact, that Tumah is Hutra B'Tzibur. And Pnei Yeshua therefore says, I don't understand. V'lechari Yesh L'tmo, source number 7. Kol Torah Hanes Ze Lama. What was the need? What was the exigency? What was the need for this entire miracle? Da kaimalon to mahutcher b'tzibur va'yichol mahadlik b'shem and tamet da'afilu hidure lo mahadrinan kideisav biyuma. Because when it comes to the opinion of tomahutcher b'tzibur, you don't even have to go ahead. The whole idea of hutra is that it's not just pushed aside, but that it's completely abdicated. We no longer look at the laws of Tumah Tahara at all. You don't have to. There's no kiyum, it would seem, in lighting Shem and Torah. It's completely superfluous, according to the opinion of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. So this is a very famous question. We'll come back at the end. This is a very famous question. A lot of different answers given to it, the Beis HaLevi and others. My Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig likes to answer this question in the following way. Precisely because of the fact that this lighting of the Hanukkah candles was superfluous, that's what makes it the perfect miracle to capture the essence of the struggle, the military struggle, and the whole holiday of Hanukkah. In Rav Rosenzweig's words, Hanukkah is the holiday of religious maximalism. If you were the Hashmonaim at the time of Hanukkah, you were presented with one of two choices. You could have said, okay, what can I do? I also saw this yesterday in looking through in the Shemen HaTov on Parshas Vayeshev on Ruvain's V'Yitzilu Miyadam. He has a very similar, almost exactly the same phrasing of understanding of Hanukkah. If you were the Chashonah and you were presented with the choice, you could have said, okay, things are bad. We're being prevented from performing certain mitzvos. But what can we do? We have to maintain whatever we can. But to take our lives into, to put our lives in danger, to start a revolution, to start a struggle, I don't know if that's the best way to go. You know, let's preserve, let's maintain, let's do the best we can. If we need to cut back on some of the mitzvahs that we perform, if some of the things are forbidden to us, what can we do? But the Chashronaim, anticipating the whole idea of Shmad and understanding, and perhaps that's where we learned it from, that at a time of religious persecution, one can't just sit idly by and try and do whatever they can, but they have to rather rebel and fight for a certain idealistic, lechatchila, maximalist version of Judaism. They chose to initiate this particular struggle to try to overcome the religious persecution, be able to not just have Yahadus float until the persecution passes, because the danger of that is that it will completely be abolished, but instead to fight for a certain brand, a certain type of passionate, idealistic, lechatchila type of Judaism. And it's for that very reason that the Nes of the Pach Shemen is the perfect complement, or captures really the essence of what the entire struggle of Hanukkah was all about. The truth is, going even further than the Pnei Yeshua, and I'm not sure if Rav Rosenzweig has ever said this, it seems totally conceivable to me that the plan was, okay, we found some Shemen Tahor, and they planned on lighting Shemen Tamet. They weren't anticipating a miracle. They Pashtus is, they looked around, found some Shemen Tahor, decided to light it, and the next day they would have lit Shemen Tamet. But the fact, why then did this miracle transpire? As Pnei Yeshua said, the Maharal said, this is totally superfluous. This is something that we make a holiday for? Because the whole point of this Nes Pach Shemen was to reinforce this idea of a certain idealistic, maximalist version approach to Yahadus. It's not sufficient, it's not enough just to do the bare bones necessities, whatever we can do. We have to fight to preserve a certain level and standard and idealistic mode in terms of our observance of Yahadus. And therefore, the miracle of the Pach Shemen happened as a way to reinforce or to underscore this very struggle that the Maccabees had waged. The struggle to promote and preserve an, a certain form of Yahadus, an idealistic, ideal form of Yahadus. Yes, Simcha.
Isn't it possible to say that the reason they couldn't use Shemen Tamet was because this was an essence of Hanukkah's bias?
Right, so that's one of the answers given by the Beis Halevi and others, that because at a time of Chanukah, at a time of rededication, it's important that complete purity or absolute purity be invoked and be used. I think that's definitely one of the answers that's given. I think the Beis Halevi gives that answer. I'm just suggesting an alternative, even leaving aside the Chanukah part, or maybe as part of that. Why is it so important that at the Chanukah that we be pure and pristine? The idea being that when it comes to dedicating something or rededicating something, the whole essence of this military struggle was about preserving or promoting a certain idealistic form, a form of Yahadus which dovetails with a Chanukah HaMizbeach and a Chanukah HaBayis. I'm not supposed to take questions, right, Rabbi Shur? Shlomo.
What's so special about this Nes here that makes us say a bracha when on Pesach we're filled with this and with miracles, and yet there's no bracha there?
Okay, so the question is, why was there a mitzvah particularly associated Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, and then we make a Berachas HaMitzvah on it as opposed to Pesach? So this gets into the question of whether there's a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. When I come back before Pesach, perhaps, Lee Neder, we'll discuss why there is or isn't a bracha on the Mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe that the bracha at the end of Magid is indeed a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, or maybe that it's the type of thing which doesn't require a bracha. Okay, so just coming back now to the Rambam, I think now we understand, based on our understanding of the nature of the entire mitzvah of Chanukah, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is all about religious maximalism. It's all about an idealistic brand of Yahadus, something which the Maccabees fought for, the military struggle and victory was all about, again underscored by the Nes Pach Shem. Now we begin to understand a whole host of issues that relate to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah as well. Why is it that when it comes to Ner Chanukah, all of a sudden we have official laid out ground rules for not just a basic mitzvah, but Mahadrin and Mahadrin Minah Mahadrin? This is unprecedented in all of Judaism. Yes, there is a general concept of Hidur mitzvah, but it would seem that the notion of Hidur as associated with Chanukah is very different. Now, this is a big discussion. Rabbi Eisenstein, I'm sure, will discuss this a bit, whether it's Mahadrin Achara mitzvahs, like Rashi says, or whether it's the regular version of Hidur mitzvah, like Rabbeinu Chananel seems to imply. But either way, it's unprecedented to have two levels given to us, or provided for us, and how to perform this. Normally, Hidur mitzvah means an adornment. Buy a beautiful menorah. Have a nice esrog. Have a nice mantle on a Sefer Torah. Here we have a different way of performing the actual mitzvah, two different levels of performance of the mitzvah. That's something that's unprecedented. Why is that? So I think if we now recognize that the essence of Chanukah is about religious maximalism, it's about pursuing a Yahadus on a higher standard, then it makes sense that built into the main mitzvah which commemorates these miracles is levels of performance, and levels of performance which almost compel us to do Mahadrin min Mahadrin. I have yet to meet a Jew, secular Jew, observant Jew, who just does Ner Ishu Beiso on Chanukah. It's unheard of. Everyone does Mahadrin min Mahadrin. I think it relates, the Minag Yisrael relates back to the whole essence and a recognition of what Chanukah is all about. In fact, the most remarkable expression of this is found in the Shulchan Aruch. And this brings us back to Mitzvah Chavivihi Ad Ma'od. The Shulchan Aruch begins his discussion of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah by invoking the Rambam's Halacha Yud Beis in Perek Daled, or in source number 9. The Shulchan Aruch says, Sarach Li Zar Ma'od by Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. This is how he starts the Halachas. Va'afilu Ani Hamisparnes Menatztaka Sholom Mocher Ksusa V'lokeach Shemen Lahadlik. He takes out the word veneros, so maybe he doesn't mean that, but we'll see in a moment that I think he does. Look at Siv Beis. Now, this is the first time the Shulchan Aruch is going to talk about the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It's also the only time he's going to lay out how you perform this mitzvah, how you fulfill this mitzvah. Kama neros man. How many candles do you light? So I would anticipate that the Shulchan Aruch, the code of Jewish law, which teaches us Jewish practice, would go on in a similar way that the Rambam, the Gemara, and every other posik does, and tell us There's one level of mitzvah. The basic mitzvah is Ner Yishuv Esav. And then there's something called Mahadrin Ner L'Kol Echad Ve'Echad. Then there's something called Mahadrin Min Mahadrin, which involves incorporating the night of Chanukah into your lighting as well. But look what the Shulchan Aruch does. Kama Neros Madlik, Balayla Harishon Madlik Echad, Mikan Ve'elech Mosif B'Holech Echad B'Chol Layla, Ad Shebalel Achron Yiyushmon. Vafilu Imram B'nei Abayis Gol Yadlik Yoser, the Shulchan Aruch has a particular position, like Tosos, that you don't add both the Mahadran and the Mahadran and the Mahadran together. But nevertheless, what's remarkable is the Shulchan Aruch here, what is he describing? Mahadran min Mahadran. He never mentions Mitzvahs Ner Yishuv Esav. He never mentions Mahadran. He goes straight to Mahadran min Mahadran. As if that's the halacha. Now, I don't know. I think it's too mechudosh to say that the Shulchan Aruch would actually say that you don't fulfill Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah if you don't do Mahadran min Mahadran. But if I was stuck on an island that only had the Shulchan Aruch, that's what I would think. And I think what the Mechaber is doing is, again, highlighting that the other levels of Chanukah, of Ner Chanukah, are merely there to create a Mahadran min Mahadran. You know, they're not really viable alternatives. Now this gets into a whole question. Let's say I have enough to do Ner Yishuv Esav, and three other people need to do Ner Yishuv Esav, they don't have anything. So can I give them my oil, my candles, to facilitate their performing mitzvahs? So this comes up. This is actually a question. Can I give up my Mahadran and Mahadran so that somebody else can do Ner Yishuv Esav? I would think it's pashut. Of course you can. But it actually is an issue because, again, the Shulchan Aruch formulates this in such a way that makes it sound like the Mahadran and Mahadran, it doesn't just integrate into the mitzvah. It's not just a kiyum in the mitzvah and an enhancement of the mitzvah. It almost seems as if it overtakes and becomes the mitzvah. And this has numerous nafkaminas. I'm not going to get into all of them now. That question of, can I give up my Mahadran for somebody else's? Can I make a bracha if I forget to make a bracha? The Rabbi Kiva Eger question. Before I light the first candle, can I make a bracha on the Mahadran ones? It would seem that according to the Shulchan Aruch perspective, the Mahadran and Mahadran integrates fully into the mitzvah and indeed has the same status as the basic mitzvah itself. In fact, there's another discussion. I put a couple of additional Shulchan Aruchs at the bottom of source number 9, Madlikin Miner Liner, and which candle you start with, which also reinforce the idea. The Shulchan Aruch thinks that you can light one candle and use that to light another candle. Like you light the first candle, let's say you don't have a shamus, you light the first candle with a match, then you can light the other candles with the first candle. Madlikin Miner Liner. So the Ramah says, how can you do that? You're lighting from a Mahadran, you're lighting from the basic mitzvah, and it's Prisus HaKavod to the basic mitzvah to use that to light something just Mahadran. So the answer would seem to be for the Shulchan Aruch that no, Mahadran Mahadran is on the same level and of the same stature as the basic mitzvah. So to come back to the Rambam, what I think the Rambam means when he says mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od, the Rambam means this idea, that the whole idea of Ner Chanukah is that we go above and beyond what is necessary. We go above and beyond the minimum in pursuit of this particular mitzvah. And that's why the Rambam sees that it's fine to be mechadish this halacha, that an ani, somebody who's reliant on communal funds, sells the shirt off his back in order to light Neros Chanukah. Normally, in a normal mitzvah, we wouldn't expect that from him. But when it comes to Ner Chanukah, it's chavivehi ad ma'od, it's so significant, it's so important. The military struggle to fight for the religiously idealistic and passionate way in which the Chashmonaim felt Yahadus had to be observed, that's an important enough idea that even a poor person should sell his shirt off his back in order to fulfill this mitzvah. And I think that's what the Rambam is teaching us. That's how the Rambam saw to it to be mechadish this halacha. The Shulchan Aruch begins with this halacha, and it seems from the Shulchan Aruch, by the way, that it would even be for Mahadran and Mahadran that you have to sell the shirt off his back, because he doesn't even mention Ner Yishuv Esav and Mahadran. Okay, so our final question now. We understand that for the Rambam, Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah represents this special type of mitzvah, a mitzvah which engenders a person to go above and beyond the basic level, the basic mode. That was the whole struggle of the Chashronaim. That was the whole Neis Pach Shemen. That's why there's Mahadran and Mahadran. That's why there's all these special elements to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And even perhaps for the Mahadran and Mahadran, you have to sell the shirt off his back. So what then is the message that the Rambam lands with, concludes Hilchos Chanukah with? The idea of Shalom Bayis. So I think, in truth, the Rambam here is not just homiletically concluding a sefer, but he's actually writing a perfect conclusion, a fitting conclusion to Hilchos Chanukah. If we recall in source number six, the Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam discusses and describes the military battle. The Rambam doesn't shy away from explaining exactly what happened. What happened? Gavru b'nei chashmonaya kohanim agadolim v'hargum v'hoshiu Yisrael miyadam. There was a military battle. There was a war. There was death. There were people killed in order for this religious struggle, for this military victory to take place. Arms had to be picked up and war had to be waged. And I think what the Rambam is doing at the end of Hilchos Chanukah is reminding us that we have to place this in context. Even if this is a mitzvah chavivahi ad ma'od, even if Chanukah was a time when military struggle was as a necessity and was critical and was part and parcel of what the holiday is all about, nevertheless, the Rambam, precisely at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, after stressing how important this mitzvah is and how important this military struggle was, the Rambam chooses this point, this place, to discuss the significance and the value of Shalom Bayis and Shalom in general. Again, much like the Chashmonai, one family began this struggle, the Rambam begins his discussion of Shalom by focusing on the family unit, Shalom Bayis. The Rambam first starts with Shalom Bayis and says, Hayilafanim ner beso v'ner Chanukah, o ner beso v'kiddush hayom, ner beso kodem mishum Shalom beso. Shalom Bayis trumps even Chanukah, even after all that we've described. Halachically, it's more significant to have ner beso than it is to have ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah chavivihi ad mo'od. The military struggle was critical. The war was necessary. But nevertheless, when it comes to our overall assessment of values, ner beso is kodem mishum shalom beso. Sha'arei Hashem nimchak lasos ben ish liishto. It all begins in the home, husband and wife. That shalom is so significant. Gadol hashalom shekol haTorah nitna lasos shalom ba'olam. Shenemar derachei adarchei Noam mechol nesivosei shalom. For the Rambam, Hilchos Chanukah presents the perfect opportunity to emphasize the value, the supreme value of Shalom. It's dafka here, after the Rambam has emphasized the uniqueness of Ner Chanukah and the significance of Ner Chanukah, which includes and incorporates a military component, the military victory and the miraculous nature of that military victory, where the Rambam sees fit to say, Afal Pikein, the most important thing, the purpose of the Chanukah struggle, indeed, was to ultimately reach a point of Shalom. That's where the Rambam concludes his Hilchos Chanukah, reminding us that in the very same halachos where the Rambam, it's the only place where the Rambam speaks about a military battle and the significance for a military battle, the Rambam chooses b'dafka that place to also emphasize the significance and the importance of Shalom. Gadol HaShalom Shekol HaTorah Nitna Lasos Shalom Ba'olam. May we, this Chanukah, incorporate both values that the Rambam speaks about at the end of Hilchos Chanukah. Both the notion of Ner Chanukah as a mitzvah chavivahi ad ma'od, a mitzvah which forces us to recognize a mode of Judaism which perhaps the rest of the year is difficult to focus in on. The idea of pursuing the mitzvos and our avodas Hashem in a maximalist kind of way, where we don't just suffice with the basics, but we go in a mahadran, min mahadran. We pursue the mitzvos in a passionate, idealistic fashion, but at the same time recognizing that in our idealism, in our religious fervor and in our religious passion, ultimately that doesn't lead to a wiping away of the value of Shalom, ultimately the supreme value, the value which Hanukkah is designed to promote as well, is the value of Shalom.